And today we have Richard Freund. He is the Senior Research Analyst for the State of Maine Workforce Investment Board. And yes, I know that sounds boring, but Richard has promised that it will be exciting today because I know, you know, people think that the state is it can have boring jobs. And I know for a fact, because I know you, Richard, that it's not boring. It's actually very important work that you do.
Absolutely. Great to see you again, by the way. I can only interpret this as payback for having publicly announced that we were anointing you into the York County Career Center Hall of Fame. Prior to joining the State Workforce Investment Board, I was a Career Center manager down in York County, more particularly in Springvale. And on a regular basis, we would bring in HR directors, HR managers, people who were involved running, managing and owning search firms. And yes, it's true, I did anoint David into the Hall of Fame. I think at that time, I might have told him he was the most impressive speaker I had encountered. That, for the record, was prior to knowing that he would ask me to join him in the future on a radio show.
You know, if you keep this up, Richard, you're going to be on every week, and this is how we're going to start the show. Any future guests, this is a good way to start your show with Dave. No, look, you were a career center director down there, and I, you know, and since we're in the compliment mode, the fact is you did a great job turning that center around. And, you know, Sanford is an area, Sanford-Springville area is an area that is, well, factually challenged in terms of jobs and the employment market. And, you know, you did a lot of work down there to try to do something different. And, you know, I think before we even start with the investment board, tell me a little about some of the things that are going on down there that were different, that are now being, I know, implemented in many other career centers across the state.
Sure. And before we hone in on Springvale or Sanford, let me just quickly give you a slightly broader perspective.
Sure.
Since you do have listeners statewide and beyond, we're one of 12 career centers that's located throughout the state. The mission of career centers is really to assist job seekers to become job ready and ultimately, and more importantly, connect job seekers with employers by providing employers with the most qualified, highly skilled, and best prepared individuals. In terms of who we serve, basically that can be boiled down into three key segments. It's individuals. Individuals came in three flavors. I mean that with all due respect. Basically, they were unemployed individuals, people who were looking to change jobs, and students graduating who might have been in job search for the first time. The sad reality of what has occurred the last 2 years since the onset of the Great Recession is that 95% of our time, or 90 to 95% of our time, down at the career centers, and to your point, we certainly saw this down in Sanford, was spent with not only unemployed, but oftentimes long-term unemployed individuals.
Yeah, I know we certainly, when I was down there, and I've done a number of forums for other career centers throughout the state, you know, the long-term unemployed is an issue. But, you know, like I said before, and I think it's important, there were some innovative things that you did at the career center. And I know one was bringing in people from the outside that actually talked real life to them about what's going on. And I know there are panels that were set up. And I know that Portland's now doing that, and some of the other centers are doing it. I think it would be important to tell them what's going on there. So if you could give like an overview of some of the things that can help these people, I think that would be great.
Sure. Just quickly stepping back, in terms of who we serve, I mean, I mentioned individuals. I mentioned the three flavors. We serve employers, and we also serve community partners. But as mentioned earlier, given the state of the economy, we've spent most of our time working with individuals, and when we weren't working with them, more often than not, we were outreaching to community partners. Community partners being shelters, food banks, other social service agencies. It was very difficult placing people over the last 2 years into jobs, and clearly there was a need to find other resources for them. Typically, in an average week, we would have several people who literally were just breaking down in the career center. We saw that in Sanford, where last year we serviced over 15,000 visitors across the state. I think something like over 190,000 people walked through career centers throughout the state of Maine. Really boils down to an average of about 800 people a day. The pendulum has started to swing. The economy is showing signs of improvement. And for us, I defined three customers. Employers I always saw. My background, as you know, Dave, has been in I've spent 35 years in the private sector. Mm-hmm. That's run the gamut from running divisions of corporations or companies within large corporations to startup businesses, some of which were launched successfully, some which never got to hatch, and also running small businesses. And what I've tried to do is bring to your question earlier the perspective of the private sector to the state work that we do. And clearly, as I mentioned, as the economy is beginning to mend, we're seeing a much greater demand from the employer side in terms of finding the right sort of people to meet their needs. I know you encounter this regularly in your business, as we did at the Career Center. Essentially, I'm talking about the basic skills mismatch that's out there.
Yeah, no, I think that one of the things you did well down at the Career Center in Springville was bring that private thought process into the Career Center of what is really needed for the basics for somebody to get a job. And we're talking about simple math skills, simple reading skills, simple, you know, writing skills. And some of the long-term employed or unemployed, part of that is the fact that they never had to worry about that because they were in a long-term job. They've been there for 30, 40 years. They were in a facility, a factory, or some organization, and they never had to worry about that because they were taken care of. And the economy's changed. You've got computers, you've got all that that's out there, and they don't have those skills.
Well, I think that's a great point, and you touched on something that, sadly, I experienced personally. In the late 90s, I had mentioned the startup. This was a very successful one. Ultimately, given its success, we got bought out of it. I was asked to move. I was living in northern Massachusetts at the time. I was asked to move down to Texas, and my response was, no, you don't understand. My family and I want to get to Maine. And at that point in time, that was a bittersweet separation for me. Being flushed with cash at that time, I went to the most expensive, best-rated outplacement firm I could find, and they spent six months packaging me. And that served me well back then. However, you know, move the clock forward 10 years, here we are, 2010, 2012. I found myself, after getting involved in a small business, which unfortunately did not have a happy ending for me, I found myself unemployed and looking for work again. I dusted off this old, great resume. I can't tell you how many thousands of dollars I had spent to have this prepared for me. It gave me all the talking points. It packaged me beautifully. So I thought. I sent that resume out to over 100 different employers. And you know the feeling, or I know you have job seekers and HR people telling you this all the time. It was, hello, is anybody out there? Does anybody care? To the point you made, I was applying old school techniques to a job market which has evolved and changed. I shouldn't say evolved. It's been more revolutionary than evolutionary, but it has changed considerably.
No, and we talked about this many times, but the fact is that, you know, it's still about getting out there and networking with people. And it's not about just sending your resume out. You know, on the last half hour, we were talking to Ashley Goodenow, and she was talking about the fact that she just graduated, and it was all about networking. And so this dovetails right into what we were saying, is the fact that, you know, people are out there and they send resumes off online, and they don't realize that it goes into the abyss. And you have to really be connected with somebody and using the techniques, because 80% of the jobs are found through who you know.
It's funny you mentioned that number. That was when I got hired by the state. It was one of the first things I was told. I politely shook my head yes and thought to myself, ain't no way, that number just can't be right. Having worked at the York County Career Center for the 2 years prior to my latest assignment, clearly, as we talk to people who would call, ask about workshops, they might have scheduled a workshop or, in fact, might have been required to come to a workshop. They'd say, we just got a job. Do we have to? Do I need to attend now? We'd say, congratulations. That's great news. By the way, can you tell me how you got your job? And sure enough, to your point, 80% of the time, it was, I knew somebody who knew somebody who connected me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're talking with Richard Freund, and we'll be back.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
On to round three. If a train leaves Spokane,
Schenectady by Saturday.
Correct. March comes before May. What's in my left pocket?
Half a mint and a rusty switchblade.
Correct.
Bam.
Who lets you watch TV episodes and movies instantly over the internet?
Ha-ha! Netflix!
Correct! Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
That is rad!
I know. Can you put me down now?
Sorry, I'm a hugger.
Guys, discomfort and chafing from wetness-related friction can hit any time. Get relief and prevent it too with Gold Bond Medicated Foot Powder for your feet and body powder for your, you know. Whether you're working out or just holding down the couch, you're a guy. And unlike baby powders, Gold Bond's got the medicated formulas to fight itch, odor, and wetness. Plus, it's got that cooling kick that lets you know it's working wherever. Keep it cool with Gold Bond Medicated Foot and Body Powders. It's a guy thing. Use as directed.
Thank you for calling vacationsandstuff.com. Looking for a hotel? How about a car? Are you sure you don't want a car? What about tickets to a show? No? Then how about the car? We've got pony rides. Why not? Not for you? What about a cruise? It's just like a hotel, except it floats. How about a
Sometimes car? You just need a hotel. When you do, go to hotels.com.
How about a facial then? Back wax? Stone massage?
With over 20 years of experience and over 140,000 hotels worldwide, why go anywhere else? At hotels.com, finding you the perfect place is all we do.
Gardeners trust Miracle-Gro Shake and Feed to feed plants right. Plants need food, especially veggies. Lately, another company's been saying their plant food feeds twice as long as Shake and Feed. What they aren't saying? Their plant food actually feeds less. So we're saying it. Shake and Feed provides 72% more nutrition per application and is more in line with university recommendations for feeding many popular veggies. Hey, if we can save even one veggie, it'll be worth it. Miracle-Gro Shake and Feed. Everyone grows with Miracle-Gro.
Chapstick asks, where do lost chapsticks go?
Hi, I'm Rick, and I lose my cherry chapstick a lot. The first 26 times I lost it, I found it laid in my back right pocket. And I'm a lefty, but this time, it's gone, man. And my chapstick has always been there for me. Like that one crazy cold winter, chapstick was my best friend. So if you see it, wait, is this it?
Do you know where your lost chapstick is? Have your say at facebook.com/chapstick. And try new Chapstick Lip Shield 365 with SPF 50 for all-season protection. Ultra-moisturizing for softer, healthier lips.
And we're back with Richard Freund, again, a senior research analyst for the State Workforce Investment Board. So we were talking about networking, and while we were doing the break a little bit here, you said some important things that people should think about in terms of the networking itself. So take it away.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you talked about the importance of networking for job seekers, and I think clearly what we discovered at Career Centers, I mean, it's our job, as I mentioned earlier, to connect job seekers with employers. 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, employers really were focusing on survival or just battening down the hatches, waiting for an improving economy. The good news is that those changes are now happening. The pendulum is swinging back. Employers are rearing their head. And networking with employers is something we discovered at Career Centers as being critically important for job seekers, which we encourage them to do, as you touched on earlier, but also for us, just networking in general with employers to tie in more effectively to the business community is absolutely, I'd say, mission number one for us right now at the career centers.
No, that's great. And as I said before, you did a great job down the Springville Career Center. And certainly, I think...
I will come back again.
You will. And I think, you know, certainly that's one of the reasons why I'm sure that you are now in this new role here up at the state, on the State Workforce Investment Board. And so I know you. What I'd like to do is first have you explain exactly what's going on, talk a little bit about that, because I think it's important as we talk about workforce development.
Sure. Thanks for the opportunity, by the way. And I, as I first joined the state, again, with the 35-year perspective of the private sector, looked at our current Workforce Investment Board configuration, saw four LWIBs as an abbreviation for Local Workforce Investment Board, scratched my head and said, gee, I'm not quite sure we need to have four of these. Yes, Maine is a geographically diverse state. Business-wise, it's a diverse state, but we're all of 1.3 million people, and how much administration and infrastructure do we need to effectively manage workforce development? The primary focus of the local workforce investment boards was essentially Workforce Investment Act dollars, which during the course of any given year would total about $9 million, which again were dispersed from the state to the LWIBs and then from there to service providers who would work with individuals in job training and job readiness. As with four different entities, as you see in any particular situation, you got four different people doing hopefully the same sort of stuff. They're all going to find their own way. They're going to establish different priorities. They're going to create a different focus. And what breaks down is a consistency in terms of how you would want to administer your training and your workforce development across the state.
And I think that's an important aspect because I think, you know, to be able to bring that all under one roof and try to make sure we have one focus, one division, and that everybody's trained the same way, you know, people are getting the most for their dollars, and that, you know, in fact, it makes a difference in the job creation. That's the end of the day what really matters in terms of not only creation, but people improving their ability to, you know, get jobs and to be able to retain work.
Yeah. As you know better than anyone, we've got a supply side and we've got a demand side, the demand side being our employers. And as I mentioned earlier, that pendulum has shifted and there's a lot more activity out there. It's been in the last 2 months that I've been asked to join the State Workforce Investment Board as a senior analyst there, really to help form and carry out what has been the governor's vision. And essentially, I think what he has seen and asked for and is attempting to put in place really is a seamless, more responsive, and encompassing board, which will provide a broader focus on workforce development. By creating the State Workforce Investment Board, or SWIB, and effectively, he'll be effectively eliminating the middleman, which currently are the LWIBs today, and that will allow for a more consistent focus across the state for workforce development as it pertains to customer service, to policy, and to accountability.
Yeah, I think that that's critical in terms of that. I mean, certainly the intent and would be to improve training, to be improving, you know, the dollars that are used out there, and use less administration overhead. I think that that should be a model that's out there, and I know that's one of the key areas that you talk about. So tell me some of the other areas of what the intent are, what the, you know, the goals will be.
Sure. Clearly, as you look at all of the layers that currently exist, everybody is siphoning off a certain percentage for administration, administrative expenses, and the overall objective is to put more training dollars in the hands of the people who most need it so that they can respond to the needs of businesses. But I think the governor's vision is even broader than, again, just the Workforce Investment Act funds. If you look at workforce development across the state, there are literally hundreds of millions of dollars that are spent each year on workforce development. The sad reality of where we exist right now is we have not done nearly as effective a job as we could be doing and as we should be doing in terms of knitting all of that together. And the governor informing this new board, his vision is to have all of these groups, encompassing the Department of Education, community colleges, the university system, adult eds, corrections. All of these areas are recipients of workforce development funds. And wouldn't it be a beautiful thing if we could all be working in concert together to do what's best for people within the state of Maine?
What is the oversight that is done with this in terms of making sure that once the money is given to a lot of these organizations, what's the oversight and what's the role that the state has in that? Because you have so many pieces into the pie. You know, how does the state do that? Because I think that's an important area in terms of ensuring quality of delivery of service.
I think that's a great point and a great question that you're raising, Dave. And currently oversight, and in reality, it will still continue to exist somewhat on a fragmented basis. There are federal funds. There are state funds. There are funds also from foundations, and all of them establish their own criteria in terms of measurement. Once again, the governor's vision is, and to your point, is to pull this all together, have a state workforce investment board oversee, not necessarily direct the funds. Many of them are predefined in terms of how those funds are to be distributed, but really to oversee the use of these monies. And where discretionary monies are involved, we'll be looking at various parts of the state that might have needs that are similar or different from others. To that end, the governor has identified the 8 chamber regions which currently exist across the state as the way we'll be really overseeing or administering state workforce investment board activities.
Now, that's great. I think that information is important for people to know that there is going to be training and development of people across the state of Maine, that it will continue. So as we know, the unemployment numbers fluctuate here and there. The question really becomes, at what point do we continue this? And I really believe that we should continue to make sure that people are trained and that people that need the redevelopment and the retraining, it does happen.
Yeah. And the key to this whole thing is that we really need to become much more of an employer-driven system. And by virtue of focusing on these 8 chamber regions, as you look across the state, there are 45,000 business establishments that exist within the state of Maine. 15,000 of them are members of chambers of commerce throughout the state. So with the touch of a button, we'll have the ability through email and other distribution, working through the chambers, who are very good at communicating with membership and convening members, to be able to touch or get our message out of workforce development. And even more importantly, not only get a message out, but get feedback in relative to what's required in what region or what area of the state in terms of workforce development.
No, that's great, and I appreciate you bringing the information in. So, Richard, what do you like best about your new job?
I like strategy. I like policy. I like the implementation of that. During the course of my career, I've had the opportunity to work with strategy, with policy, to implement policy, and to run operations. I thoroughly enjoyed the work I did down at the Career Center in Springvale. It was great to have the opportunity to give back, and I would define that really as a hardcore, intensive operations job. My passion is more in developing strategy, implementing it, and hopefully seeing it succeed across larger entities, and in this case, the state. So I'm thoroughly excited about the opportunity I've been provided here to hopefully make the state workforce development system a much more effective one.
No, I think it's great, and you've done a lot of great work out throughout the state, and this is certainly an area that I know you're passionate about, and it shows. And so I appreciate you coming in today. And Richard, thank you very much for your time.
And I have an announcement to make. We are going to have to elevate your status from the Hall of Fame to an even greater level. And give me some time to think about it, and I'll announce that the next time you have me back.
Okay, and then I'll definitely have you back, because clearly you did a really good job on this show. And maybe I'm a little bit biased with that comment. But no, thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.